Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Hello and welcome to another episode of Take It Away,
Fingers
Jenny Ryan.
Fingers on Buzzers.
And you may have heard there, listeners, that Jenny was sort of using her face to do a kind of Doppler effect. What do you call that when it... when a siren comes screaming down the street at you,
it was an alleged Doppler effect. I don't know how it worked, if it came across whatsoever in any shape or form.
No,
but it was fun to do.
And talking of things that are fun to do, it's real life quizzing is back, Jen.
It's back. It's officially back. Yes, after many months, virtual or non-existent, a lot of quiz leagues have started to play back in person in the last couple of weeks, and which is very, very exciting, because as good as Zoom has been for keeping the quiz going, it's just not the same as going and getting a pint and sitting there and looking your enemy in the eye as you correctly identify the third largest city in Romania.
Which is, of course, Google.
Question
Google.
On tonight's quiz, which we won't reveal.
Okay.
Not at all.
No, I'm going to Google that. So, and what have you found have been the things that have taken you by surprise that you have enjoyed, or things that you've been a bit rusty with?
I think because there's been a proliferation of quiz in the lockdown, and especially things like the online quiz league and things have really taken off, it's not so much rustiness, it's just getting used to being in the same room as people and refocusing. I'm kind of used to being on Zoom and you're staring at your own face for one thing. You're doing a little bit of lip reading of the quiz master, but you're also You've got something
checking
to focus on.
Out. I know. Well, I was saying I've never, I mean, I have stopped when I'm on a Zoom call, I'm really just looking at myself. I've got to be completely honest. I do. Oh, yeah. I feel like now when I'm in real life, I need a little mirror like a budgie so that I can still have that.
Like a kid in a car seat.
Exactly. The reassurance of being able to see myself.
Angled a different way. The weirdest thing about going back to real life quizzing or real life anything is one of the rules across most quiz leagues online is you have to keep your hands in view at all times. Mm. So you might, you know, you might lean on your hands, or you might, I sit back and cross my arms, or and sometimes I put my hands above my head just because I need a bit of a stretch.
Just doing jazz hands.
Yeah, just jazz hands, or, you know, it looks like the start of a Bohemian Rhapsody video. And getting used to not having to do that in real life.
Yeah.
Because it'd be quite obvious if you were Googling under the table in real life, and it's one of those anti-cheating measures that we have on the online quiz league. So that's funny. The other thing is I've missed people.
Yeah,
socializing. It's kind of back to reality. We've got a lot of protocols in place, and I mean, we're recording this on a Tuesday, and I'm about to go out to quiz league, and so I've already done my lateral flow test.
Good.
And hopefully it's come back negative. It's over there. I left it to marinate while we were doing this. So it should be pretty safe. But it's tough now because there are certain people who aren't coming because it's a risk.
Yeah.
And there are a few people who we've lost in the meantime who will never be coming back. So it's actually a little bit poignant to be meeting up with people once again, but it just gives us a chance to have a bit of a reminisce and to celebrate people who are very fondly missed quizzes.
Oh yes, well, and I mean, yeah, I think getting back to kind of seeing people in real life and being able to bond is a wonderful thing, and I hope that you know, they're enjoying that all over the world, from Bucharest to Constanta to Cluj-Napoca, which I believe is the third largest city in Romania.
Honestly, if that comes up on the quiz tonight, Cluj-Napoca.
Cluj, it's probably C-L-U-J, Napoca. And then Timișoara is number four, which I have actually heard of.
I thought that was bigger. I would have said Timișoara if I was pushed. Fourth largest.
Timișoara and coming in fifth, is, I mean, I'm just off the top of my head, obviously, just thinking about this. It is.
No one cares about fifth.
Constanta.
You've already said Constanta, haven't you?
No, it's Bucharest, Cluj-Napoca, Timișoara, Iași, Constanta, Craiova, Brasov, Galați, Ploiești, and Oradea.
That's all very exciting stuff.
There you go. No. So that's, don't say we never teach you anything, listeners.
We'll be testing you on it next week.
Yeah. Well, maybe at the end of the show, I'll come back with the 10 biggest cities in another country. So much excitement to come later. But right now we have got a fantastic young talent of the acting and comedy world who is going to join us, the brilliant Johnny Weldon. So we are lucky enough to be joined by actor, broadcaster, Twitter sensation. It's the one and only Johnny Weldon. Hello, Johnny.
Oh my God, what an introduction. Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm very excited. My quiz knowledge is limited. I want to get that out early on. I want to go straight with us. There's no high expectations. But I'm excited. I'm excited to be here. Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, Lucy. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. Well, I've been hugely enjoying your work. For people who haven't seen your videos, they are an absolutely perfect representation of what the life of an actor entails. And I say this as someone who's married to one. And the pain, I have to say, I've always thought being married to an actor, you think, oh, you know, what could get in the way of our marriage? Will it be, you know, he'll have an affair on set, or, you know, he'll be off in LA doing something. The thing that will end my marriage to an actor is self-tapes.
Way worse than an affair, I think. It is. It's way more emotionally distressing. So have you been had the role over the last year of kind of reading off camera and, you know, aligning it all up and balancing phones on books and things like that.
Yeah, so I'm the unseen other person in your videos, basically. Is that really your partner who is?
Yeah, Lucy. Yeah. Well, she's an actor, so we met on a pantomime a couple of years ago. She gets it, and whenever she gets a self tape, I'm that person. But no, yeah, I know the pain, Lucy. It's I've had a lot of those comments actually of people going, "Oh, I'm not an actor." I get comments like, "Oh, I'm not an actor, and I can't believe it. Is this what the industry's like?" And then another actor will swoop in with, "Yeah, yes, it is." Mm-hmm. But I get a lot of partner comments saying how self-tapes are living hell. So sorry for highlighting that.
But I mean, actually, I think even if you're not in the entertainment industry, a lot of people can relate. Now everybody has to tape themselves for work. Everybody has to do presentations on video and stuff. So I think it resonates even beyond the world of showbiz now.
Think so. And it was funny because my videos, they all went mad in around March, April. The self-tape video that I made was shared by Daniel Mays and Vicky McClure and like Martin Compson and all of the cast of Line of Duty around when it was on. And it just blew my mind to think that even those stars are having the same issues of like taking a painting off the wall and trying to balance their selfie on a coffee mug or whatever. But also most of my other videos are about situations that we weren't doing at the time, like because of the lockdown. So it would be about press nights or awkward auditions or drama school reunions. But yeah, the common theme throughout all of them is sort of desperation and embarrassment and humiliation. And I don't know, one of them's at about 700,000 views or something ridiculous. So I just like the idea of there's an army of us all out there that get it.
Well, talking of desperation and humiliation, let's turn to the world of quizzing.
Great.
Because that is something, you know, quizzes, we put ourselves out there very much like actors. We kind of, you know, open ourselves emotionally to a lot of rejection and disappointment. Mm. And I believe that you are a quiz fan.
Yeah, I am a quiz fan. I really like The Chase.
Hey.
Does every guest say that? Is that?
Yeah.
They have to. Well, I will otherwise send the boys round.
Yeah. So The Chase, I'm a big fan. I like The Chase. I like her. And if Beat the Chase is on, that's it. The week's off work for that one. That is clear the diary. I love a pub quiz. I like drinking and I like quizzing. So that works out well for me. And I actually run a weekly quiz in Islington where I live. But I am a fan. Yeah, I don't know how good I am, but I am a fan. Probably the most high-profile quiz I ever did. There was a TV show called Rise with Ian Lee, hosted it years ago. Yeah. It was like a version of this one. Anyway, I went as an audience member on that with my brother and my dad. We drove up and we sat in the studio and we watched it. And I ended up somehow, probably because I was just a loud, annoying kid, like saying something in the audience and the camera was on me. And anyway, about a month later, we got a call to say that they're basically doing a spelling bee, like a national spelling bee, and they're going to film a pilot. And they were looking for kids who were quite confident that would be able to go on it. And I went on it and I nailed it. I nailed the pilot. It was brilliant. But when it actually came to doing it properly, they were getting like the most intelligent children in the country. So that was just very much for the pilot. But one of the intelligent kids dropped out and they called me or my mum, you know, the gobby boy from the pilot and the audience. And we went out, stayed in a nice 5-star hotel. All of this, it must have been about 11. Wow. And I didn't get a single one right on live TV. And I remember that the last, it was probably really inappropriate, but they asked me to spell knickers, which was quite strange. And I really confidently, almost with a wink down the camera, was like, N-I-C-K-E-R-S. You know? And that was my my early retirement of the...
That public ritual humiliation, putting yourself out there, that must have been what kickstarted your love affair with acting, surely.
Yeah, I thought,
the rejection, the pain, and the scrutiny of an audition.
Where can I get more of this? I'll just be an actor. Yeah, exactly. But no, I love it. I love watching quiz shows on TV, and I do love a pub quiz.
And so hosting a pub quiz, I mean, that's pretty exciting. You can tell us the name of the pub so we can all come down.
Oh yeah, go for it. The Middleton Arms in Islington. It's very nice. Good there every Monday. It's like 20 questions of general knowledge. Halfway through that, we have the spot question where the closest number gets a free drink at halftime. And it's always obscure, like the amount of bricks in a, you know, famous building or something. And then we have the music round and then 20 more questions in the second half, followed by the killer round,
which mm-hmm. is, you know, get them all right, you get a bonus 5 points. Get one wrong, you don't get anything yeah. for the killer round.
Wipe and out or, yeah.
There's
yeah.
a theme as well, and you've got to work out what the theme is.
But and do you set it all yourself?
No, I don't. Thank God, no. I'm the middleman. a friend of mine does it. He just spent, you know, he's on Googling things every day, and he writes these quizzes and he sends them. He just distributes us as the hosts all around London. Okay. So that's fine as well, because when you inevitably get somebody on their phone going, actually, it was 1703, not 1704. I've got it here on Wikipedia. I can just go, oh, I don't know. All right, I don't write it, mate. No. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Well, and I mean, so obviously to us, we're thinking, right, you're training to be a quiz show / game show host. If we could offer you any television quiz or game show of the past, the present, or the future, is there anything, I mean, do you want us to come up with a format for you, or do you have any existing formats that you'd like to do?
No, I'd like you to do it for me.
Well, do you know, actually, there, I mean, a sort of a quiz about actors and the history of acting and, you know, a sort of, I'm thinking Sky Arts. Jen, do you think they might commission this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Or BBC Four.
A higher brow type oh, yeah. of quiz
I like
about
that.
Performing arts. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That sounds yeah. good. Count me in.
Well, because your background, your musical theatre, as well as sort of everything, aren't you?
Well, sort of. I mean, the first ever job I did, I was 11. I played Michael Banks in Mary Poppins in the West End. And then I went on to play Gavroche. And then I went to theatre school as a teenager. And then I, basically, when I was 18, I moved to London with a suitcase and I've never left. But, and I've done a bit of musical theatre, mainly just kind of straight plays, stuff, a bit of Shakespeare and stuff like that. And then I a few commercials. I was the face of, I was sort of the 118 guy of Switzerland for about 2 years at one point. I didn't realise it was going to be really famous. They flew us over and we were by the side of the road and we were getting into these like orange jumpsuits. Just loads of people like were pulling over and taking photos of us. And I sort of went, why is that? And they were like, no, you're about to become one of the most famous faces of Switzerland. And I kept getting tagged in things on Twitter. Like I was on billboards, you know. I did that. And then I started doing stand-up as well a few years ago. So basically anything and everything.
So was the 118 in Switzerland, where we had the big moustache guys with in running gear, you were in an orange jumpsuit like an American prisoner.
Yeah, it was, well, it was for Zweifel Chips, but I mean, it was that sort of like recognisable.
Actually, yes.
Right, yeah. I remember getting stung by a bee as well, right as they said action, and it was like a massive set, just hundreds of Swiss directors and producers, and I got stung by a bee and I had to power through. It's really challenging industry times at times.
That is dedication.
They say it's not digging roads, but I mean, you know, that is...
Yeah. Come on, it's close.
You've got to love Swiss crisps. Very much.
Exactly. So
maybe,
yeah,
an advertising quiz. Have they ever done one of those, Jen? It feels like something that must have been done, like adverts around the world. Which country is this from?
Oh, that would be a good spin on it, though, because there have been those clip show kind of ones where it's ha-ha, laugh at these Japanese adverts. But yeah, or reenacting classic adverts.
Yeah,
a gold and blend then,
You and Johnny could be the gold blend. I don't know, Johnny, are you old enough to remember the gold blend couple? It was Sharon Moore and
Anthony Head.
Anthony Head, yeah.
When was that? What sort of period was that?
Late 80s. It went on into the late 90s because they kept bringing them back, I'm sure. Sort of mid 90s, oh, wow. I would say.
What year?
Because it was
Johnny?
A saga.
93.
You would have been very
too young to remember that.
Well, so, yeah, we'll work something more contemporary out for you then. It could be advertising, but it might have to be a bit... Well, but then, you know, you could bone up on your old adverts, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah.
I could. I did that. I did More Than Insurance.
Oh,
and
nice.
And I did that. And I also, I'm sure I did another... Oh, wagon. I was in a wagon wheel advert.
It was
really clever. It was all about aliens. And the marshmallow was actually Martian mellow. It's really complicated stuff. And
so can you confirm, as the inside track, are wagon wheels smaller than they used to be?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Yeah, 100%.
There we go.
I think so.
We've got it from the advertising face mouth.
The active
face
mouth.
Of wagon wheel.
Big time.
The mouth of the wagon wheel has spoken.
So I'd love to do more adverts, though. You know, you hear about these people that kind of buy a house off, and I've never had that.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had that.
That's in the olden days. I think now it's all, you know, buyouts and...
Yeah, when you get residuals and things. Yeah, there's... one of our producers on The Chase, his father-in-law was he's from an acting family. His father-in-law was in one episode of Dad's Army, and every time it's repeated, they get a couple of grand in the bank.
Oh, that's amazing.
Just drops him. And obviously that's going to get repeated a few times a year.
Wow. The only royalties I get is I was in a music video called, it was the tune of Is This the Way to Amarillo, but it was Is This the Way to Santa's Grotto? And it was a bloke dressed up as Santa singing that, basically. And I reckon I get about £1.23 a year come through the door.
Imagine. It's hardly about a boy, is it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Living on past glories.
Yeah. A little Christmas bonus, though, isn't it?
Exactly.
So, you know. Well, now, talking of things Christmas, you and Jenny and Johnny, as well as only having one letter different in your first names, you have something else in common. Jenny,
treading the pantomime boards, Jenny?
We are.
Where's yours?
Oh, mine's a tour. Mine's an arena tour.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
That sounds fancy.
We're going everywhere from Cardiff to Nottingham to Aberdeen to Glasgow and Birmingham and, all over the place.
Who are you playing in it?
I am Glinda the Good Witch in The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, great.
The Good Witch of the North.
Do you know what songs do you know your, like, your big numbers yet?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Oh, okay.
No, I want to keep it, a bit of a surprise for myself when I start rehearsals, really.
Not on the night.
And what about you, Johnny? Where are you?
I'm playing the famous comedy character Muddles. Basically, he's the Buttons of Snow White. Mm-hmm. In St. Albans at the Albany Arena.
Lovely.
And it's quite, I only found out about it a couple of weeks ago. It's all quite last minute, but I'm very excited, And I live in North London, so I can commute, which is really nice, because I've done a Christmas show every year since I was 18, and I've had so many Christmas dinners with so many random people in so many flats and so many bizarre digs people, you know, when you just sort of turn up with your suitcase and you live there for a couple of months. So this time I'm going to be able to have Christmas in my own flat.
And St. Albans is lovely.
And that as well, yeah.
If I have time off, then me and Lucy should come up.
Yes.
Oh, please do.
And see the show.
I'm really excited. I love a pantomime. This is my fourth one. I'm so excited.
I go and see at least 3 or 4 every year. So I'm definitely putting, and St. Albans is handy for me, Johnny. So that's great.
Yeah, do it. You can come on stage at the end, Lucy, do the song sheet and all of that. we'll give you a, happy, those like bags that kids get, all of that stuff.
Yeah, a shout out and throw me some sweets.
Absolutely. Underarm, though, and soft sweets now.
Yeah. COVID, are you allowed to?
Oh, good point,
probably
actually.
Not.
Good point.
we'll probably have to email you a voucher to download so you can buy a suite, I think.
Hose all the children down with antiseptic before you.
They get a face covering and a bottle of hand sanitizer. Yeah.
So our producer Amanda, bearing in mind that you two are about to be heading for Panto season, has, I believe, prepared a quiz on this very thing.
I mean, obviously, I think I'm in the presence of at least one Panto expert, Johnny. So no pressure. But, you know, if you've been doing a panto every year since you were born, then hopefully you'll know.
I'm already clamming up.
As always, it's two rounds. I'm going to allocate you a question each for the first round. Second round, I think we'll have it a bit more of a joining in vibe, but I'll get to that in a moment. So your allocated questions are, Lucy, I'm going to start with you.
Ooh, so, I'm the panto
as our a panto novice. Virgin. Yeah, she's never been in one.
No. Yeah, haven't you, Lucy?
No, one day I will. Yeah. The problem is I've got no skills. So it would very
I thought you were going to say, I've got no intention of giving up my Christmas.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is such hard work. I mean, eight at least shows. Well, it's how many shows a week is it? It's hundreds.
About 40.
Yeah.
But usually I think it's about 10 a week, something like that.
Yeah, it'll vary though. So that week between Christmas and New Year, it could be, you could just do a permanent panto non-stop through the night. Yeah.
Have you got any three-show days, Jenny? They're pretty tough.
I've only got one three-show day, which is merciful. But a couple of years ago, I did Windsor and it was just under 6 weeks and we did 72 shows.
Wow.
Yeah,
I can't work out how many how many shows a day that is, because maths is impossible, but that sounds like loads.
Yes.
You and I could come and be the panto horse, maybe, Amanda.
Do they still have those? Do they still have two people dressed
Jack and the Beanstalk has to have a cow, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, so, it sells the cow.
Yeah. There's got to be one in that. But I've never been in a panto with a horse in it.
I did Jack and the Beanstalk once, but the cow was it must have been low budget because the cow was like the ASN or, you know, a member of the crew, and they didn't pay him any more, and he just stood up in like a dishevelled costume. It was a freestanding.
Just kind of shriveled udders and very sad looking.
You'd be lucky to get a couple of beans for that cow.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, well, your question. So I guess these questions are kind of like the history of panto. So, in fact, that's exactly what they are. So, okay, Lucy, which character was Eliza Povey, the first actress to play in Jack and the Beanstalk at Drury Lane in 1819?
Well, now, oh gosh, you see, immediately I'm going, well, presumably it's... Because Widow Twankey is not just a general; it's like a dame, isn't it? So Jack's mum, or the cow, or the giant, or was Jack's mum? I've seen Jack and the Beanstalk.
I think you're overthinking this.
Yeah,
or is it Jack? Because it's always the woman who plays
first one to play the principal boy. So and was Jack in that, but was the first principal boy. So yeah, you got that.
We don't really do that anymore.
No, I love it when they do.
We don't really have principal boys anymore.
Really?
I went to see one at the Shaw Theatre in London a couple of years ago that had a principal boy, and it was like, it was nice. Nice to see that.
Yeah.
I think it's just whatever it takes to have a nice gender balance, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you've already got a man taking a woman's part, Widow Twankey, etc.
Then there should be a woman taking a guy's part. So I think, bring absolutely. Back Principal Boy. The campaign starts here.
Bring back the pantomime horse with two women in it.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Captain Jack and the Beanstalk is female, for sure.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Well, we've got a lot of work to do on these campaigns. So I'll crack on with the quiz first. Jenny, which famous clown pioneered the use of pantomime dames during the 19th century?
Famous clown?
Yeah.
Coco.
Well, no, I was just going to throw out names of clowns, but I've got literally no idea. Pagliacci?
No.
That's a historical clown.
That's a very historical clown.
I want to say Grimaldi or Grimaldi.
Oh, Grimaldi. Of course it's Grimaldi.
Well, then if you said that, you'd be right. Yes.
There we go. Well there done, we are. Jenny.
No pressure. 2 out of 2 here.
Okay, Johnny, I've got all faith in you with this. Okay, so I think you'd have learnt this at drama school. So pantomime is said to broadly have its origins in which style of Italian theatre?
Commedia dell'arte.
Yes. Hey. Oh, absolutely. I knew that'd be a walk in the park for you.
Yeah.
Congratulations, everyone. So, you know, you're pretty good at your panto knowledge. Now, this part, I think I'm going to get you to shout in because the clues will get progressively easier as I sort of talk, because there's been a few A-lister Hollywood stars that have done panto. And so I'm going to start by giving clues and then the first one to kind of buzz in with their name and tell me who you think I'm talking about will get the point. So,
okay.
The first one. Okay. So this person appeared as Arthur Himbry in the first Scream film, although the role was uncredited. Mm-hmm. Better known for playing the lead character in one of the biggest ever TV sitcoms, which ran from 1973 to 1984.
La, 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 hello.
Is that you buzzing, Lucy?
That's me. Maybe we should have we should buzz in with panto catchphrases.
Okay. Go on, what's yours?
Oh, no, it isn't.
Jenny, which one are you going to go with? It's behind you, Johnny. That doesn't.
Oh, I feel like the best ones have gone. What can I say? Can I just shout 3 show days? Something like that.
That works.
Let's do Baby Shark, which Baby Shark. Everyone will be doing for song sheet.
Baby Shark is.
Lucy, what's your guess?
I think it is Henry Winkler, aka the Fonz.
And you are absolutely right. Yes, apparently. Okay, and I remember this well because this was when I worked at a radio station. I was always getting invited to this, but I just couldn't ever go. But I really wanted to see it. It was when he jumped into the role of Captain Hook, when David Hasselhoff had to withdraw. Yes. From the new Wimbledon Theatre's production of Peter Pan in 2006.
I remember that.
Yeah.
He was one of the first sort of big American stars to come over and do it, wasn't he? Well, Hasselhoff and him, yeah.
Lucy, that's another point to you. Second option. This person began their career in Hollywood in the late 1950s, providing voiceovers for characters in the English dubbing of the Japanese monster films Rodan and Godzilla Raids Again. His autobiography to the stars was published in 1994.
I know it isn't.
Lucy.
Is it William Shatner?
No.
Oh,
no, I'm going to keep reading. No. Although lately a prolific voice of anti-Trumpism on Twitter will mainly be known for starring one of the world's most iconic sci-fi series alongside Jenny.
George Takei?
Yes, absolutely. George Takei, he was one of the very first US celebrities to venture into panto in 1987. Before Johnny was born.
Yeah.
He played the genie in Aladdin at the Hexagon in Reading, and then latterly played the Emperor of China in Chatham Central Theatre's production in Aladdin again and in 2009 with friend of the show, Sean Williams.
Nice, lovely.
I listened to his when you had him on the other day, and he's a panto legend, isn't he?
Yes. He's just a legend.
He's an entertainment legend.
I really want to go and see Barioki. Have you seen that he's doing Barioki?
No.
It looks incredible. It looks amazing. And I think, Johnny, you're invited as well. I think an FOB night out to Barioki would be...
In my last sketch, I mentioned that I'd had a panto offer and Barry from EastEnders is in it. And I just DM'd Sean the night before and I said, you know, do you mind if I make this joke? It was a bit late. It'd been awkward if he said no because it was ready to go. And then he just replied, have you seen Extras, Johnny? I was like, okay.
He really is just such a good sport, that guy. He's just absolute legend. Love him. Okay, final one. So, Johnny, I've got every faith in you. Though I don't know if you would have heard of this person. I was trying to find something a bit more contemporary for you, but
Wait,
a little bit thin on the ground. Okay, so here we go. So this person began modelling in the 1970s and became one of the most sought after models in the world, featuring in commercials such as Bovril. She played the role of Miss Scarlet in the 1993 and in the TV series The Detectives. In the early 2000s, she appeared as Mrs. Robinson in a Broadway production of The Graduate. She has 4 children with a rock star who gathers no moss.
No, it isn't.
Go on, Lucy.
Well, it's Jerry Hall, isn't it?
It is Jerry Hall.
Oh, well done.
Apparently, inspired by her fond memories of watching pantos with ex-husband Mick, model Jerry Hall joined in with the tradition in 2014 as the Wicked Queen in the Richmond Theatre production of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, where Mick was also in attendance. There we go.
Hope so.
Love it.
Wow.
What a lovely
Who
quiz,
knew?
Amanda. Thank
Who
you.
Knew?
You're
welcome. Yeah, thanks, Amanda.
Well, I think what we've proved there, Johnny, is just that you're very young. And there is no shame in that whatsoever. Yeah.
He has much to learn.
Hey, I enjoyed it though, and I'm glad I spent £27,000 on the word Commedia dell'arte. That's got me that I'll never pay back. So, you know, that's, if anything, it's all been worth it.
It really has. It really has. Well, you know, and you bring joy to so many with your your dissections of the
I'm gonna do a sketch now called An Actor Does a Quiz. That's definitely gonna that's in the pipeline.
Well, I'm sure, Jenny, because you've got Tracy Ann Oberman doing a brilliant cameo in your latest.
Oh, yeah, she was great. She was fantastic. Because my friend's playing Prince William in the Windsor's End Game in the West End. Brilliant. I don't know if anybody's seen it. It's so good.
I've not seen it yet, no.
So I went to go and see it, and then I had a chat with Tracy Ann afterwards, and she said, you know, I'd love to do one. So I wrote it up, sent it to her, and, we had such fun. She was just ad-libbing all over the place. And it started with her going, the line initially was I had the first line, but she came in and she decided that she had the first line. And she was like, I want to be talking to an assistant. And I loved it. I was like, all right, there's a third person in this sketch now. So she just like went off on one. But yeah, no, she was great. Really, Brilliant. Really good.
She's fantastic. Well, An Actor Does a Quiz featuring a cameo from Jenny Ryan will be arriving very soon, we hope. So thank you space. So much. It's been an absolute delight. And we will see you in Panto in St. Albans. Johnny Wilder.
Thanks so much. Thank you.
Well, what an absolute joy it was chatting to Johnny there.
Yes.
And I mean, I'm looking forward enormously to Panto.
It's coming up a pace now, Panto. Yeah. It's on the horizon.
I know, well, that quiz got me in the mood for it. But I'll tell you what else I'm looking forward to is recapping on the third biggest city in Romania. I've already forgotten what it was. But I tell you what I'm going to do, Jen, is I'm going to quiz you on some other biggest towns and cities in other countries.
Okay.
Okay. So Hungary, because I always get Bucharest and Budapest mixed up. So I'm going to remember that Budapest is Hungary.
Yeah.
Can you name? Now, I've got a list of the 8 biggest cities and towns in Hungary. Can you name any other city or town other than Budapest?
Can I? I really should be able to. Hungary.
I mean, I couldn't in a million years.
See, that this is the thing. There's always someone on my quiz team who's like a million times better at geography, so I just pass it to them. Where's in Hungary?
Not only do I not know them, can't even pronounce them. So I will try my
Debrecen.
Yes, Debrecen. Well done. That is the second biggest. You could also have had Szeged, which is third. Miskolc. Sorry. Sorry to our Hungarian listeners, Miskolc, Pécs, Győr, Nyíregyháza, and Kecskemét.
Wow.
Or
a lot of these ones, they're a lot easier if you're into football as well, like European football.
Yes.
Because there'll always be someone who's played your team in the early group pre-knockout stage of the UEFA trophy back in 1989. You'll remember them forever.
Yes, which is an advantage I do not have. I tell you, I'm going to do you a slightly easier one. Just to finish, a couple of slightly easier ones. What's the third biggest city in Germany?
In Germany? So you've got your... Oh, right.
Well, so number one.
It could be one of... You think number one would be Berlin?
It is, yeah.
Okay, so that's not a trick.
No.
So I would say... You've got your Stuttgart, you've got your Frankfurt, and you've got your Munich. They're all pretty big.
But they are. It's none of those. Is
none of those. Oh, great.
Munich is third. Hamburg. Munich's third. Hamburg is second. Brilliant. Berlin, yes. Hamburg, and Munich.
There we go.
And then let's go for Spain. Three biggest cities in Spain.
Madrid.
Yep.
Barcelona.
Yep.
And
yes, this is where it gets interesting.
This is a good one. Oh, Valencia.
It is.
Hey!
There you go. You see, she says she's no good at geography. She's brilliant. It then, of course, goes to Seville and Zaragoza.
Bilbao, is that in there?
Yeah.
Bilbao is 10. You could have Malaga, Murcia, Palma, Las Palmas de Gran Canaria. So actually, you've got some of your
island-based.
But well done. So those of you listening, if you got that right, congratulations. All that remains to be said is thank you very much to the brilliant Johnny Weldon and to Amanda Redman. Always. I sometimes forget to thank her, and sometimes I thank her like we did today. And join us next time for another episode of
Fingers on Buzzers.
Oh, she came and she went away again and she came. I hope you're listening in headphones. That's all I can say.
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.